Yeah. The speaker is away from the microphone. Radhe Radhe. Radhe Shyam. Radhe. Radhe Shyam. Let's go less. It's a reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Antilila, chapter 12, verse 54 through 60. It's a very wonderful pastime. Lord Gauranga blesses the sweet maker. His name is Parameshwara Das. Of course, Parameshwara is the name for the super soul, right, or supreme controller of this body, the Parameshwara. Nadiya vasi modaka taranama parameshvara modaka veche prabhur bhatira nakataraghar. This word modaka means, Kushikrata sometimes translates the word modaka as candies in some of his books about Krishna and Braj. In one place he's describing Nandishwara. And he's saying that sometimes Nanda Maharaj would put his two boys on the bullock cart. Actually, it says chariot. I will say bullock cart. Nanda Maharaj would put his two boys, Krishna and Balaram, on the bullock cart, and they would go out into the forest around Nandagaon with a big box of modaka. And the translation is that Nanda Maharaj would put a big box of candies on a bullock cart. And he would take his two boys out into the forest and he would distribute modaka to all the saints and rishis living in the forest around Nandagaon. So it must have been a wonderful pastime to be one of those saints or rishis to receive a toffee, as we say nowadays, a toffee. We buy toffees and distribute to the Brijvasi boys or girls when we go on the Parikrama. So this tradition was going on 5,000 years ago. So here, the same word is there. There was a resident of Nadia named Parameshwara who was a confectioner, or mitaiwala, sweetwala, living near the house of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Well, that's very convenient. There's nothing better than living next to the candy store. You can imagine if you're a child and next door to your house is the candy store, how much you can understand who your first best friend would be. Your first best friend would be the owner of the candy shop. You would be sure to make good friends with him, and then he would reward you accordingly. It's called Sakama friendship. Friendship with desire, with personal desire. But children automatically win the hearts of any adult, and you can imagine if that child's name was Nimai, how much your affection would flow out to him. Balaka kale prabhutara gare bhara bhara jhana dugdha khanda morak deya prabhutaha khana. Balak means young boy. When Mahaprabhu was a young boy, at the time balak kale prabhu, when Prabhu was a balak or a young boy, he would visit the house of Parameshwara Modaka again and again, bhara bhara. Because children are never satisfied with one piece of candy. You could say that this is the pastime of Mahaprabhu in the mood of Giriraj. Because the Vrijvasis were giving so much food to Giriraj, so much modaka, so much candy and all things cooked in ghee, such as gulab jamuns, which are cooked in ghee and soaked in sugar water. That certainly qualifies as a modaka, an imperial sweet, which was affectionately known as Iskan bullets, gulab jamuns, which come in black and brown, two colors, and equally sweet. Actually, I think black is sweeter, because everything black is very sweet. At least if Srimati Radharani would certainly speak this way, that a black gulab jamun is much more tasty than a brown one. So there he is, red-handed, caught, as I mentioned. He made best friends with the sweet maker again and again, bhara bhara. He's going there to his house. Dugda kanda modak deya. Dude, as we have, dude is dudga, dugda, which means, and kanda and modaka. So he used to give him different types of sweetmeats, some made with milk and some made with grains. It says that when the Lord was a boy, he would visit the house of Parameshwara Modak again and again. The confectioner would supply the Lord with milk and sweetmeats, and the Lord would eat them. So we can imagine that there are sweetmeats made of milk and others. And we also read in the other biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mangal, and Chaitanya Bhagavat, about how Mahaprabhu was very fond of one particular milk sweet. Does anyone know which sweet that is or was? Sandesh, correct. And we always hear that he used to play in his front yard or whatever they call it, compound, front area of his house in Mayapur, Jagannath Mishra Bhavan. And different people would walk by, total strangers. And they would be passing to and fro, going to the market. And with them they would be carrying various items. Sabji, fruits, milk sweets. And as they would pass by the house of Mahaprabhu, or let's say Nimai Pandit, they would notice this beautiful golden boy playing, sometimes playing with the dirty pots, standing on the dirty clay pots that were rejected after cooking, or maybe playing with a cobra. Other interesting pastimes of Balak Nimai, Nimai Pandit, Balak. There's interesting, in Hindi they have this phrase, Balak means young boy, and Chalak means very like clever, so they say Chalak Balak. He's a Chalak Balak. It means very not. Actually, means naughty. That's the correct word. If you can understand, it means very, very bad. But bad means good. Like in New York City, they have brobasha. Brobasha is a derivation of English, or let's say American English. Brobasha. We have brajbasha, and brobasha, they say, "Hey man, you're looking bad." "Hey man, you're looking bad." Bad means you're good. So Nimai was very bad, but actually was very good, because his badness, his naughty behavior, or so-called incorrect behavior, simply acted to tie up the hearts of his mother and father and other devotees in knots of loving affection, one by one by one. So nothing he does is bad. Everything he does is sweet, and everything is good. Everything is good about the Lord, as Vallabhacharya announces to the world that everything he does is sweet. His Shristi Madaram, Pralaya Madaram, Krishna's creation is sweet, Nimai's creation is sweet, his destruction is sweet, his liberation is sweet, everything is sweet, his face, his smile, his flute. In the same way, Mahaprabhu, everything is very sweet. Not only does he get free sweets from Parameshwara Das, the sweet maker, but as people walk by and they see the antics and the so-called naughty behavior of Nimai, people become enchanted and totally captivated by his sweetness and beauty and chalak and balak sobhav, or nature. And then they reach into their bags of goodies or items that they purchase and they say, "Hey Nimai, ow. And then they say, come. And then they just hand them whatever sandesh they have and whatever bananas they have. And in Mayapur, Bengal, they have so many kinds of bananas, red ones and thin ones and fat ones and short ones and long ones and crunchy ones and soft ones. There's so many kinds of bananas. I've had at least 7 or 8 kinds of bananas when I was in Mayapur at different times. Some bananas have like seeds inside, like a parval. A parval? A portal? No, parval, that little subject, usually fried or something. It's crunchy.
And good for digestion.
Yeah, good for digestion. Some kind of banana or plantain has these crunchy seeds inside, and they're fat, like quite healthy bananas.
The seed.
Yeah, I'm saying the seed. The seed is a crunchy seed inside. A banana doesn't have, at least the bananas I ate, never had crunchy seeds inside. But these are very special. So in this way, we learned that Nimai was very fond of sandesh and bananas. And Chaitanya Mangal, when his mother, Sachi, was going out to worship Shitala. Shitala is the goddess of children. There's two things. Sometimes they explain that Shitala is the goddess of smallpox, a disease of usually young children. Smallpox, some type of like skin disease or something. Shitala Devi. And also, depends on the translator, sometimes they say the goddess of children or the goddess of smallpox, which is a children's disease, where the face gets kind of pox, they call it pox, like marks on it. Sometimes you see children get that and then they grow up and they still have these little like kind of like marks on their face or whatever, like that. So she was going out, because this is Naralila, and it's the custom to appease and satisfy Shitala so that she doesn't strike your children with any disease. So she had her puja basket, like you see in Vrindavan. The ladies scurry around here and there from different temples, Shiva temples or Krishna temples, with their little puja baskets. Now they're made of plastic. But inside they have a little plastic dibba with, or container with ghee wicks and little kunkum and little chaval and little turmeric and some agarbati and a little lot of water. They must have seen their little puja kits. BBT mail order department, puja kits. You can send to the BBT mail order and get your Artik kit. One tray, one bell, one conch shell, $27.95, right? So they have their, it all starts in Vrindavan, so they go here and there. So his mother had her puja kit to worship Shitala, and inside she had one tiffin, and the tiffin had some nice sandesh there, and she had some, another tiffin with some fruits cut up, some apples, bananas. She was going early in the morning to some, because there's some tree, some type of peepal tree that she lives under. They put some rocks under there, some certain types of rocks, like Govardhan Shila type. Some type of Shila that represents the face of Shitala Devi. And she resides under this tree, particular tree. And then they established this representation of her, and all the ladies in the village and that area do the puja there. So she was on her way to do that puja for the benefit of Nimai. And he was out playing here and there. And he saw his mother with all her little puja basket. He said, "Mother, Janani, where are you going so early in the morning?" "Oh, I'm going to do some puja." "Acha? Who are you going to worship?" "Oh, don't we worry about it. It's something we have to do. You just play and don't..." "No, no, who are you going to worship? And what's in your basket?" And she said, "Some items for puja." "No, what? She said some amnaya, some different things for puja, some bhog and this..." "Oh, bhog?" As soon as she said bhog, and then, which means enjoyment, literally, and there's all kinds of bhog. Bhog can mean food, and bhog can also mean man, woman combination. That's called sambhog. And that also means just being together. So it has many meanings, but one meaning is man-woman union is also called sambhog in Rasa Shastra. And bhog means food or eating. Takruchi's bhog. So it's enjoyment. And the Lord is the supreme enjoyer. So Nimai said, "Bhog? What bhog?" She said, "Nothing. Don't you worry. Listen, I'm going to do my puja. And when I'm done, I'll bring you some prasad." So no, no. And then he put his arms like that. He said, no, you stop. You wait. You stop. A small footpath was there. He said, no, you stop. And she started to move. It was almost like Don Leela or something. Don Kaylee. And then she started to go forward. And Nimai said, "No, stop. No, don't. What is this bhog? You tell me." And she said, "Oh, only some bananas and sandesh." "Bananas, sandesh." He said, "Oh, Janani, I'm very..." And then he started crying. Balak, you know, Balak is chaluk, very naughty. So he starts rubbing his eyes. "Oh, sandesh, sandesh." And crying. So there's nothing better to melt the hearts of an affectionate mother than the tears of a baby. Tears of her baby. So as soon as those tears came, then forget about Shitala Devi. Maybe tomorrow we'll try to worship Shitala Devi. So then at this time, Nimai, he consumed all of the offerings for the goddess of smallpox and gave her a great blessing. So here, this Parameshwar, he's very fortunate to live next to Nimai Pandit, and very fortunate to be that Nimai chose his sweet shop to visit again and again. And he's very fortunate to give every day so many sweets. Prabhu Vishaye Sneha Tara Balak Kala Haite Sevat Sarasehoela Prabhure Dekite. Parameshwar Modak had been affectionate toward the Lord since his childhood. Prabhu Vishaye Sneha Tara Balak Kala. And he was one of those who came that year to see the Lord at Jagannath Puri. So this chapter is the Lord's dealings with Jagannanda Pandit. And in the beginning is describing the different residents of Navadvip, Srikanda, etc. They went off to Puri for the annual Chaturmasya Yatra, to spend Chaturmasya with Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath Puri, which would mean, actually they came a little bit before because they also attended Snan Yatra and Rath Yatra and then Chaturmasya. Some would stay at different schedules, just like we see here, the Bengali Yatris that come for the Kartik Brata, some stay for a month, some stay for a week, or Balastami, some stay for 2 weeks, according to their schedules. It was the same there during Lord Chaitanya's time. Some stayed for 4 months or 1 month, or as much as they could. So apparently, first we hear how they met when Lord Chaitanya was a balak, balak kale. When he's a young boy, he used to go regularly and take sweets, and now Nimai has grown up, we can say 20 years later. Young boy means 4 or 5. At the age of 24, he left Mayapur and went to Puri in South India. So it can be at least 20 to 25 years later. So all this isn't written because Chaitanya Charitamrita is very much a summary study. Because Krishna's Kaviraj was about to leave his body when he wrote it. As Prabhupada wrote so many summaries, Prabhupada wrote so many summary studies of Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which he started in 1960 in the Back to Godhead newspaper. He started serializing the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu verse by verse, beginning with the Mangalacharan. Word for word, same standard as he continued throughout his life. Word for word meaning, then translation in English, and then the purport. And he got as far as the Mangalacharan of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and then he went up to verse 13 or 14, which includes the definition of Uttam Bhakti, which we're discussing in morning's class, Anyabhilashita Shunyam. So here, he's 5 years old, and all of a sudden, you see how fast the scene shifts. In one verse, we're hearing about Balak Kale. Then 2 verses later, we're hearing about Parameshwar is going to Puri to meet the Lord. So in 2 verses, the Lord grew up 25 years. 25 years passed in 2 verses. It's a very fast movie. Very fast, fast action. Now he's 5, now he's 30. Scene 1, 5. Scene 2, 30. Scene 1, 5-year-old boy, nose ring, or earring and necklace and tiger teeth around his neck and black string around his waist and maybe nothing, no clothes, and some bells around his waist and ankle bells, and just running around and beautiful curly hair on his head. Now scene 2, shaved head, no jewelry, nothing, uttariya, 2 pieces of cloth, lungi, sannyas dhoti, and uttariya, top piece, no jewelry, no tiger teeth, no ankle bells, no waist bells. So this is a quick shift. So when you're actually trying to meditate and follow these leelas and your smaran, then you have to do some fast shifts, place shifts and time shifts from Mayapur to Puri, from sand and salt water and sand, from the rich loam of Mayapur where anything grows anywhere. You drop a seed anywhere in the ground of Mayapur and a day later you'll get fruits. The soil is so rich and the water of the Ganga is so sweet. It's like nectar. And then from that environment, there's everywhere green and everywhere trees and everywhere shade and everywhere fruits and flowers. And the next scene you see is hot, dry sand. It's burning the feet of Sanatana Goswami. Nothing grows in the sand. You put any amount of seeds you want to, nothing's going to grow because the sand is full of salt, and salt is what they use to, you know, preserve dead bodies. You can't grow anything in salt. And then the water, what the water is there, of course, for Mahaprabhu it's the Yamuna, but for the rest of us it's the Bay of Bengal, and it's salty. It's not nectar, it's salt. So just see so much change. Because when you meditate, when we do smaran, you meditate on the place, Braja Dham, and Mayapur Dham, and Puri Dham, the place, and the transcendental scenery, and then the houses, and the kunjas, and then the people, and then the actions. So this is all involved. So there's a lot between the lines here that we have to fill in with our own perception. So now here they are meeting. Apparently they hadn't seen each other for a long time. This 5-year-old boy was coming many times. Barabara was coming to my sweet shop. And every time I saw him, my heart was melting, and I was giving him anything and everything I could put in his hands. His two tiny little hands, I was filling his hands with as many sweets as I could. And he had to say, "Stop, stop." Because my love was flowing like anything. And each sweet was a deposit of my love into his hands. His hands were the counter, were the teller at the bank. You give the money to the teller at the bank and he takes it from underneath. You give him the money, he takes it like this. Underneath, then it disappears, right? He puts it into a drawer, he puts it somewhere. So Lord Chaitanya is coming and collecting the love offering of Parameshwara Modak. They call him. No, it's not Parameshwara Modak. It's Parameshwara. Yeah, they call him Parameshwara. That's what it says, Parameshwara Modak. So Parameshwara, the sweet wala. So he's making his deposits, his love deposits, in the form of dugda and kanda, sweets of grain, made of grains and milk. He's depositing to the hands of the teller. And then the teller is taking it in his hands and putting it into his mouth, which means it goes to his heart. So he's depositing all that love from Parameshwara into his heart. The Nimai opened a branch of the bank in Puri. And so he closed Parameshwara's account in Mayapur for 25 years. But he had made a fixed deposit. Parameshwara, he had made a fixed deposit with Nimai when he was 5. So now he was going to make a withdrawal. Sometimes they make fixed deposits for 8 years, 10 years. So this was a 25-year fixed deposit. So after 25 years, Parameshwara Modak went to the Puri branch of the Nimai Pandit Bank, Love Bank, the Nimai Pandit Prem Kosh, or Prem Bandar. Bandar, I think, means bank or something. Huh? Yeah, in Hindi or Sanskrit, it's Bhandar, Bandar or something like that. Not like... Bandar, right? So it's the Nimai Pandit Prem Bandar, branch office in Jagannath Puri. And there's also one in Vrindavan. He opened that in the full moon. He came here on the full moon day at the end of Kartik, which is actually Kartik full moon, which is Purnima, which is the next one. And that's when that was the first day Mahaprabhu entered Vrindavan. So then down this describes what happens when he meets the bank teller. Parameshwara has gone to Puri, and this is what happened. Parameshwara Muni Bali Dandabhata Koila Tare Deki Prabhu Prite Tahare Puchila. When Parameshwara offered obeisances, as we read before, that he came that year to see the Lord in Puri. That year He came, it's very interesting. Krishna's coverage says, verse before, he says, Parameshwar, the Nimai Pandit as a boy, a Balak, would visit every day or many times the sweet maker. Then the next verse he says, Parameshwar Moda came that year, the year that Krishnas is describing about the year that they went. That year happened to be 25 years later. You see what I'm saying? You follow? Is it clear what I'm saying? In one verse, so he came that year, which happened to be 25 years later, to see Nimai Pandit, who is now Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Puri. He offered obeisances to the Lord, and he said, in other words, he identified himself because by chance Mahaprabhu may have forgotten him or may have not recognized him since he has met about 10 million people in the last 25 years because he has toured all over India, the length and breadth of India, glancing everywhere upon every living entity from ants to elephants to tigers and deer and adivasis and bataharis and all kinds of people, high and low, and everywhere he's glancing, he's giving them prem. So he saw the minds and hearts of millions and millions of people. So maybe a little difficult to remember your favorite sweet maker from 25 years ago. You see? It can be like this. So therefore, introductions are in order. He says, I am the same Parameshvara. Tare deki prabhu prite tahare puchila. Just see the love of Prem Purushottam. He hasn't seen him for 25 years. And then when he glances at him, prabhu deki prite, with great affection, with great love, you can connect the word prite to deki or puchila. Pucho, same as Hindi. He asked him a question with great affection, or he looked at him with great affection. Either way, priti means affection or love, like priti sandarva. So Mahaprabhu, he looked at him with great love, because the Lord never forgets. We forget because we're subject to the modes of nature, but Sarup Shakti is, one of the aspects of Sarup Shakti is full unlimited knowledge. So Krishna Mahaprabhu is made of Sarup Shakti. So there's no question of him forgetting anything. He's the source of remembrance. Apohanam cha. Sarvasya chaham vridi sannivishto matas smritir gyanam apohanam cha. Smritir gyanam apohanam cha. From Krishna comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So Mahaprabhu knew exactly who he was. So therefore, he said, oh, he's my loving friend. He's my loving servant. Of course, he loves everyone. Mahaprabhu said, Parameshwara kushlahau Bhala haila aila Mukundara mahata asiyache Seya prabhu re kahila. Mahaprabhu said, Parameshwar, may you be blessed. It is very good that you have come here. Acha. Parameshwar kushalaho. So this is Bengali, because in Hindi, when you meet saintly people or even Brahmins or Pandits, they say kushraho. Kush means, it almost sounds like the American slang, because if someone's kushi means he's taking ease, like cushion. We have a word cushion, like this is a pillow. A pillow is for your head, and a cushion is something you may relax on or sit on. So kushi, you know, he's very kushi. He's like he's enjoying, he's relaxing. So in Hindi it's kush, and it's the same kushala, same in Bengali. So they say kushraho, may, or they say kushraho, may, is everything okay? May you relax, may you be. So he's saying, Parameshwar, be blessed, relax, kush, everything, relax, you're comfortable, everything's comfortable, be kushho, kushalaho, bhalo haila. And this is very, everyone knows this, everyone that goes to Bengal, kubalo, bhalo, bhalo achi. Prabhu, balo. You go to some Bengali's house for lunch, and then he says, Prabhu, balo. Prasad, balo. Oh, kubalo. So he's saying, kush ho. And he says, bala, hai la. Everything good. Hey, relax. He's saying Kush means relax. Parameshwar, relax. I recognize you. You don't need the introduction. I'm Parameshwar. Hey, relax. I know. Prabhupada says, be blessed. He's actually saying, relax. I know very well who you are. It's very good. I'm glad that you're here. Next thing he's going to say, make me some sweets. No, he can't. Now it's a different dharma, sannyas. Very austere eating. Just give me some, Lord Chaitanya only wants boiled vegetables, right? When he goes to Advaita's house, give me some boiled vegetables. May you be blessed. It's very good that you've come here. Parameshwar then informed the Lord, Mukundara Mata has also come. So this, I think that was his wife or something, some lady's name which he didn't appreciate. Mukundara Mataranama Shuni Prabhu Sankoch Haila Tatapi Tahara Priti Kichuna Balila Kichuna Bolo. Like Kichu or Kuch, we say Kuch in Hindi. Kuch means little something. Little something. Hearing the name of Mukundara Mata, Chaitanya hesitated. But because of affection for Parameshwara, he did not say anything. Mukundara Matara Nam Shuni. Mata Nam Shuni. He heard the mother's, the name of that Mataji and Sankoch. He felt some hesitation, Sankoch. But love is such that he overlooked it. This is love. If there may be some minor infraction, the point is here in this small anecdote is that the Lord is Bhavagrahi Janardhan. He accepts the essence, the grahi of the bhav, that Parameshwar meant well, and it's his intention. This is known as anukulya. Right, we say Krishna anushilanam, anukulyena Krishna anushilanam. So anukulyena, this anukulya means the intention, the favorable intention, loving mood, the mood to please. So Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is looking for that. We may trip on our, stumble on our toes or trip up or something, or make a small mistake of behavior or decorum or etiquette, or even a minor infraction or offense in the execution of our devotional activities. But if the heart is rightly positioned and the heart is transparent and pure and our intention is simply to please and we're trying our best, then because of that loving mood that we have, although due to ignorance or let's say ignorance or inattentiveness, we may make some minor offense or mistake, the Lord will overlook it. Once Hari Sari, he asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, if a devotee falls down or makes a mistake, a serious fall down, will Krishna forgive that? And Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna will forgive. Then Hari Shauri, he asked again, what if the devotee does it again, second time, serious, grave fall down? And Prabhupada said, Krishna will forgive again. And then he said, what if he falls down again? And then Prabhupada said, well, Krishna will forgive once, twice, thrice, but more than that, the person is nonsense. The person is a rascal, and Krishna will not forgive. So Krishna has its limits. He has his breaking point. We can't break Krishna. We have to come in line. Prabhupada explains some points of behavior here in the purport. A sannyasi is restricted from even hearing a woman's name. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conducted himself very strictly in his vow. Parameshwar informed the Lord that his wife, Mukundara Mata, had come with him. He should not have mentioned her, and therefore the Lord hesitated for a moment. But due to his affection for Parameshwara, he did not say anything. When we read these teachings and pastimes of Mahaprabhu and Krishna and his associates, Mahaprabhu from 500 years ago and Krishna from 5,000 years ago, a lot of it is seems so far removed from modern times and modern so-called culture and modes of behavior and interaction. We can't really relate at all to the seriousness of events or what it really means, because our paradigm or our worldview, which we live in, the way people move and interact, and the way men and women, married and unmarried, and different varnas, what's ever left of the varnas and ashramas, the way they move and interact in the social, in the society, is so different, so much different that we read it and it sounds like some ancient culture from another planet. So therefore, we can't understand the seriousness of it all, because it all we have this feeling like, what's the big deal? What's the big thing? And the Bhagavatam, when you read the description of Rasa Panchadaya, it describes that Aryapata Jahitwa, that the gopis had hitwa, given up or rejected the path of Aryan behavior, Aryapat, to go out in the forest in the middle of the night to serve Krishna and satisfy Krishna in their dancing and all the activities of the Rasa dance. The Sukadeva Goswami, he mentions Aryapat, the path of Aryan behavior, the path of progressive spiritual behavior, which was quite intact 5,000 years ago when everyone was following Varnashram Dharma. And that's really significant. That's really a big thing, that some ladies will go out in the forest and dance with some man, what to speak of another man who's not even their husband. That's a huge thing. Because in the same Bhagavatam, in the same time period 5,000 years ago, also ladies and also in relation to Krishna, we have the example of Rukmini. Rukmini also had a conjugal relationship with Krishna, Dwarkadish Krishna, Dwarkanath, and with Swakya. She belonged, Swakya means belonging to someone, to me, my own. So she belonged to Krishna as his wife. She made a minor infraction, of course, writing a love letter, please kidnap me. This was certainly not Aryan. But after Krishna kidnapped her and brought her to Dwarka, she insisted, she said, I must be married immediately, otherwise I cannot live with you. You kidnapped me, and they went on the chariot, and soon she got to Dwarka, she said, I have to live with some of the elder ladies here until our marriage is properly arranged. Because she was a strict adherent of the Aryapat. This is a Samanjasarati that limits the sweetness of the relationship. So until, and that's a famous pastime, Rukmini Vivaha, Rukmini Krishna Vivaha. It's written and described in so many places, and they always discuss it in the Bhagavad Saptahas, because people like to hear about marriages, the Grihasthas in the audience. So she waited until all the proper titi and the marriage was arrangement and the dowry and this and that and everything was arranged. And then she began to live with Krishna as his dutiful first queen, Rukmini. And also the culture was such that 5,000 years ago, there was no question, it was impossible at any time for a married man and his wife to meet together anywhere outside of the house and dance. It was never done. There's no such thing as men and women dancing in the forest. Even married women, it was never done. There was never such a thing was ever done in that culture. So we think, we go to disco, and we grow up with discos and this and that, and we go in the forest and Woodstock concerts and this and that, we call it frame of reference. They have this term. We don't have any frame of reference, because when we want to understand something, we try to understand it on the basis of our experience, what we've learned from books or what we've seen or experienced with our eyes and senses. And we have no framework, frame of reference. So when we hear about the culture, it was such an extraordinary thing that the gopis would run out in the forest and dance. It's one thing if they just went out in the forest and sat and talked to some other man. That would be amazing. But to go out and dance? The only people that ever danced were like the local, like the eunuchs. The eunuchs, which were like men dressed up as ladies, they would come in festivals and dance at some festival. or this is like this. You know, there's no such thing as this. So the same way in the culture, even 500 years ago in Mayapur and in India, that if a man was going to introduce his wife, or say at any time, he would say, I have come with Mrs. Mishra. Say he's a Brahmin, or so many Mahaprabhu had so many Brahmin friends, so he said, I've come to the Puri Yatra, come for Rath Yatra along with Mrs. He wouldn't even say my wife. Wouldn't even imply any mamata. He would say, I've come along with Mrs. Mishra. He's Mr. Mishra. And he would say, I've come with Mrs. Mishra, like somebody from across the street. And then Mahaprabhu would say, oh, that's nice, that's very good, or whatever. And then Prabhupada is explaining, we can hear, that he said if a wife was going to call her husband, and he's at the factory or at the office, and that person would answer the phone, and she would say, hello, this is the wife of Mr. Mishra. Could you call Mr. Mishra? And it was a very, very, very official. Everything was very, very official, and the dealings between men and women and in general, because the whole point of the culture was mukti, dharmart kama moksha. This is the varnashram culture. That, and everyone knows that yan maitunadi grihamedi sukami tucham, that this maitunadi, that this attraction between man and woman, which is what binds everyone in the material world. So for him to say, he basically was in ecstasy. Parameshwar, Modaka, the sweet maker, was in ecstasy to see his, you could imagine, someone you loved when you haven't seen your lover for 25 years. You know, he was in love. It's also love. The father loving a son is also an intense love. It's not just girls and boys or husbands and wives. But he loved, this is Vatsalya Bhav, is Balaka. Balaka Kali Prabhu. Because nourishment, giving food means this is nourishment. And this is what parents do. They nourish, they chastise, they correct, they fondle, they teach. These are all the activities in Vatsalya Bhav. And they correct the child and punish him and take out a stick. But the biggest thing they do is they feed him more and more and more. Bara, bara, take more sweets, take more. So he had captured the heart. Nimai had captured the heart. And what was that love? There must be some staiba. What is the basis of the love? Is the sweet maker his friend? Would he throw ink on him on the banks of the Ganga and swim together and wrestle on the banks of the Ganga? No. Was he a Garanga Nagari or something? No. So what rasa? What is his relationship? His fixed, permanent, mellow. It must be in the mood of father, just like Jagannath Mishra. He's older, and he's giving these sweets. So now he has this intense love for Nimai Pandit. And now after 25 years, he comes and he sees him in such a transformed way, with shaved head and towering figure. Because when Lord Chaitanya was 5, he wasn't 7 feet tall. Not in Naralila. Naralila is growing, appears to be growing, although it's separate individual forms that all eternally exist. You see it in 1 minute, then it goes somewhere else and appears in another minute somewhere else. So it seems like he's growing. But every single form and every single second is eternal and is existing somewhere. It's not, you don't see it here, then it goes somewhere else. It's like this. So at any rate, at least for it's quite a shock, a transcendental shock to see that little 5-year-old boy 2 feet tall or whatever, 7 feet tall. I mean, so he was, so many rasas are there. On the basis of his stai bhav, which is Vatsalya bhav, at least we're saying that, on the basis of his stai bhav, then there's so many anubhavs and so many other things come up. And secondary rasas, like when he sees Lord Chaitanya, there's adbhuta ras, amazement, and chamat, you know, bewildered chamatkaris, all these things are stimulating his stai bhav, so he's feeling ecstatic symptoms. So then he doesn't know, when you're in that state of ecstasy, you don't know who your wife is, your mother, or whatever. He said, oh yeah, here's this Mukundara Mata's with me too. I mean, whoops, I made a mistake. Otherwise, he would certainly know the protocol. He would certainly know that, I should say, Mrs. Sweetmaker is with me, or whatever her name was, Mrs. Sweetwali. Because this is how people, you learn the rules. You learn the codes of conduct in whatever culture you're born into. If you're born in the Muslim culture, there's rules of conduct, and you learn them. Your mother and father will teach you. And then so you're born in the in this culture of Bengal 500 years ago. He knew all the things, how to introduce your wife, but he was overwhelmed due to ecstatic symptoms of love. And Lord Chaitanya understood that, so he kept quiet. Didn't say anything. Kichu na bala, balila. Prashraya Pagala Shuddha Vaidagdi Najane Antare Sukihaila Prabhutara Segone. An intimate relationship sometimes makes a person overstep formal etiquette. Thus, Parameshwar actually pleased the Lord in his heart by his simple and affectionate behavior. Prashraya Pagal Shuddha Vaidagdi Najani. Shuddha Vaidagdi. Pure, this Vaidagdi is translated here, Vaidagdi is translated as etiquette. Prashraya Pagal. So he was indulging in foolishness. Pagal means crazy. He's Pagal, he's crazy. Someone's on the street, like a crazy man, he's going naked and yelling and shouting. Someone said, oh, he's Pagal, right? He's Pagal, Pagal. So he says the same word as there, he's foolish. An intimate relationship. In other words, love is blind, right? In love there's no rules, and in rules there's no love. So he was being controlled by love, so there's no rules, the rules of etiquette, the rules of Vaidagdi, Najani. Vaidagdi Najani. He didn't know. Why didn't he know? Because there's no rules. There's no rules in love. And Antare Sukhi Haila Prabhu Tara Seguni. And that gun, that quality gave Antar Sukh. Lord Chaitanya's heart was full of happiness. He actually pleased the Lord. He pleased the heart of the Lord. Prashraya means affection, humility, faith, a demand for some special concession or indulgence in such a concession. Pagal means impudence, arrogance, and influence. Vaidagdi means cunningness, like Vidagdamadav. Here it says Vaidagdi. Means cunningness, humor, beauty, expertise, learning, tricky behavior, and indications. So Rupa Goswami wrote two, Lalita Madhav and Vidagdha Madhav. Vidagdha Madhav is about Krishna's expert, beautiful, humorous, cunning, tricky behavior in Vrindavan with the gopis, Vidagdha Madhav. So this is a story of Parameshwara Modak, the candy maker, the candy shop wala, and how he pleased the Lord in his youth, and again with his sweets, with his sweets, he made Krishna made Nimai very happy. He was expressing his love through the medium of his sweets when Nimai was in Mayapur, and then 25 or 30 years later, Jai Ho, Jai Ho, Dhanadharma Raj, Radhe Radhe. Swagatam, swagatam. So please have a seat. So Nimai Pandit, Parameshwara Modak, the sweet maker, the candy maker, he greatly pleased Nimai Pandit in his youth by giving him the sweets from his sweet shop. And 25 or 30 years later, when Parameshwara met Nimai, who is now Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he pleased him not with his, as it says, his dugda or kanda modaka deya, not by giving him the sweets from his sweet shop, but he pleased him by giving him his shuddha prem, the pure love in his heart. And even in the expression of his pure love for Mahaprabhu, he overstepped the laws of etiquette, and he overstepped the proper bounds of behavior. Because when he was there, after seeing Lord Chaitanya after 25 years and feeling so happy, and the Lord blessed him, he said, Kushala hao, Kushalaho, bhalo, bhalo. Are you relaxed? Are you comfortable? Are you feeling very good? And Lord Chaitanya is very happy to see him in Puri with that yatra of everyone. Then in his own ecstasy, he overstepped the bounds of proper etiquette because he introduced his wife. Parameshwar said, "This is Mukundara Mata." Mukundara Mata, his wife's name. And at first, Lord Chaitanya, he didn't appreciate hearing a woman's name, but he kept quiet because he understood the affection. So then, summarizing this story, Krishna's Kaviraj says that an intimate relationship sometimes makes a person overstep formal etiquette. Thus, Parameshwar actually pleased the Lord in his heart by his simple and affectionate behavior. So the words that he says prashraya pagal. He said he was pagal. Pagal means he was, as Prabhupada translates, he gives all these different words for pagal. He says pagal means impudent, arrogant, and or when Hindi they say pagal means he's crazy man, pagal. We have pagal Baba Mandir, right? Pagal Baba. Seven story temple. And one story is Gornitai, and one floor is Gornitai, one floor is Sitaram, one floor is Radha and Krishna. And the seventh floor is Om. So the idea is the top deity is Om. So he's a little puggle. He's a little crazy, but at any rate, so the same verse, he's saying he's puggle, and he's indulging, he's prashraya puggle, he's indulging in craziness, but he's vaidagdi najane. Because of his shuddha vaidagdi, because of his pure love, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know better. He was lost in the way and drowning in the waves of prema. So then, what was Lord Chaitanya's response? Antare suki hoila prabhu. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt great happiness inside. So this is a story of Gauranga showing affectionate to the sweet maker. Well, you say Parameshwar is still living in the reality of when he was in. Yeah, because he must be an eternal associate of the Lord, so he has his Staivav. And Parameshwar's Staivav is Vatsalyabhav. He's loving him like a father, nourishing him, feeding him sweets. So Staivav means that don't lose that bhav, it's eternal. Once we attain or realize or receive, and for them, it's. Nitya Parishads are always existing in their Staivav. And they always see the Lord like that. That's what you're saying. You're making the point they didn't see him as a sannyasi. That's a good point, actually. He didn't see that. He only saw him. He's a Balak. It says here he's Balak. What did it say? Balaka Kali Prabhu. During Balak, he's a Chalak Balak. He's a naughty boy. And he's coming every day to the sweet shop of Parameshwara Modak. And taking candies or sweets. And at that time he's 5 years old. He's 3 feet tall, 2.5 feet tall, curly hair, two little shark teeth on his necklace, little shark teeth, bells around his waist, a little black string around his waist to keep the evil eye of Shani off of him. So now when he sees him 25 years later, when he ventured to Puri in a yatra, and then, because he introduces himself, because he's thinking maybe the Lord has forgotten me, so he says, "I'm that same Parameshwar, remember?" And Lord says, "Kushaho, kushalaho, yeah, remember, no problem. Relax, everything's all right. It's good, balo, balo." So then, as you said, he's not seeing, I guess, because of that sthaya bhav. You see according to your bhav. So Mother Yashoda, she's always seeing. That's why Mother Yashoda, she meets Krishna in Kurukshetra. And Krishna Kurukshetra, when he came for the solar eclipse, some acharyas say he was 50 years old. That's what I read in one book, Bhagavad Gita, and Tripurari Swami, his introduction. He said at that time, of course in the battle of Kurukshetra, which was quite a bit later, we understand that Krishna was something like 90 years old or 100 years old. But during this solar eclipse, it is said that he was 50 years old. And so when Mother Yashoda met him there, then her milk is pouring from her breast. So if Krishna was 50, Mother Yashoda gave birth to our Krishna, our Yashoda Nandan. She gave birth to Krishna when she had gray hair. So she was about 60 when she gave birth, or when he appeared, or whatever, his divine appearance. So 60 and 50 means she was about 110. Mother Yashoda was about 110 years old, and milk is rushing from her breasts. So this is because she's not 110, she's always his mother, and he's not 50 years old, he's always Yashoda Nandan. This is a Staibhav. So this is a story of Parameshwara Modak. Tomorrow is the... this is Gauranga blesses the sweet maker, Parameshwara Modak. And tomorrow is the wonderful qualities of Govindaji's temple commander. So we'll find out about that tomorrow.